Blog Talk Radio.
Across the United States. He also has a book entitled The Big Walk. Hello, Mr. Clay, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. It is good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Ms. Butler.
You're more than welcome. Why did you decide to walk across America? What was the motive?
Well, the motive was to investigate the real problem of Black America. I had incorporated a production company and advertising, and I found out that because we were Black, the white world, the business world, I should say, figured that they could use us to capture the Black market. So we were getting accounts like, you know, all of them, the big wheels. And I decided, I mean, it hit me one day as to where are the Black companies? Where are the Black Buick companies or Coca-Cola companies or you know, Procter & Gamble? Where are we there? And that led me to an investigation in Cincinnati where I surveyed the entire city, all communities, and I found out that Blacks only own about 3% of the total businesses in the Black community. So we are not prospering by our own financial system, but we are giving our resources to other races. And that bothered me. And when I found that out, I decided I wanted to see if this was true nationwide. And so me and my buddies just thought of a gimme, let's walk. Since we were in acting school, college, I was getting my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. I'm joking around, let's walk to Los Angeles and get the publicity and we can be movie stars. And of course, it was a joke. But I kept the idea that I could get the publicity and feed it back to my company as far as the business throughout the United States. So that's when I walked from Cincinnati, September the 20th, 1960. I took off from Fountain Square. And I walked every mile from that point to Watts, California. It took me 14 years. I wrote a manuscript, and I did not give my manuscript. I did not sign contracts with no companies because I wanted Blacks to do it. I wanted us to be self-sufficient. I wanted us to be responsible for ourselves. I wanted us to depend on each other and to invest into the American economy. So I tried, it took me 14 years to get a black company, which we call it Ebony International Publishing Company. And that way, when I got published in 1974, I used the publicity from walking from Harlem, New York, to Cincinnati, which completed my cross-country miles. And that's when I became the first American to have walked across the United States.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about economics.
Okay.
Your belief on economics. Why should blacks strive to own businesses and property here in the United States?
Well, because we are naturalized citizens of the United States, and the United States is a capitalistic society governed by economic means. We know nothing about that. And I have been misused, misunderstood, I have been ostracized because of my belief. Now, and I have been the person who has refused to sign $200,000 contracts to sign a major contract with a major a publishing company or a movie company and so forth. I refuse to get involved with in the economic world unless we as black people would be supportive of the project of becoming American, be practicing the American way, which is capitalization. We got to invest in us, and I don't at this point in time. What I'm talking about now is the only thing I really want to talk about, and that is I was a friend of Nat Cole who wanted to do the movie. Wanted to play Willie T. Clay. That was back in the 60s. He read my manuscript, and Capitol Records wanted to sign me. I told Nat Cole that I would sign a contract with him, but they wouldn't allow that to happen. They wanted me to sign a contract with them, and I refused. That one day, I refused $1,000 check to write my manuscript. I refused $200,000 to sign a major contract, giving up the rights of my book to them, and I would get something like 7 or 8%. But I would have been a millionaire, of course, but I have refused about 12 to 15 of these kinds of transactions, even with James Earl Jones, who I signed a contract with, and we finally got it to Universal Studios, and they had $50 million for us to start the television series of The Big Walk. Now, remember, The Big Walk, you should read it. It is detailed if something happens in every city and town from Harlem to Watts. So it makes a good TV series. Now, what happened was Universal Studios cut my contract away from James L. Jones and had me individually, and I refused. I did not. I have sacrificed myself. I have sacrificed my family because I'm going to stick to the fact that we have to do it ourselves. And that's what I have finally worked up to, the fact that I received the torch from Fred Shuttlesworth.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you something. That was the next question. What role did Reverend Shuttlesworth play in the Civil Rights Movement with Dr. Martin Luther King, and what role did he play in your life?
Reverend Shuttlesworth was the original civil rights leader. He's the one that fought for justice on the Ku Klux Klan bombing the church and killing four black kids, girls. With his aggravation to the Ku Klux Klan, they threatened him and told him to get out of town. He didn't, so they bombed him three times. And finally, he moved to Cincinnati and became the pastor of my church. And from that point, he wanted to start a civil rights movement in the northern part. And so I invited him out to Los Angeles and introduced him to the people with money. He got it, and he went back to Cincinnati and started his work. And he's very successful. He's got one street named by him in Cincinnati, and he's got the Birmingham International Airport is now in his name. And so he's been quite fruitful in his work, and he's the one that gave me the torch to carry the legacy of the Civil Rights Movement on June 15th, 2006 in Cincinnati, Ohio. Reverend Martin Luther King, I've never met him. I've never talked to him. But I've been in many meetings, sitting at the same table with him, being part of the meeting and so forth. But I have to say that I never met him. But I was a pleasure of being in his company.
Okay. Was Reverend Shuttlesworth the one who invited Dr. Martin Luther King to an event or something? You know.
Yes, we were just knowing a little history of it. He was fighting the justice system in Birmingham about the killing of the three little girls. So from that, Rosie Parks started her bus boycott to Montgomery. So they got very busy. So that's when Shuttlesworth invited Martin Luther King Jr. to come and help in Birmingham, which he accepted. And from that point, the two of them, they are the co-founder writers of the SLCLC, the SLCLC. Everybody knows what that is.
SCLC,
yes. Uh-huh. So that's how I got affiliated, and Reverend Shuttlesworth kept up with my progress, but I've never benefited because I don't want to fall in the same category as my friend Bill Cosby, as my friend James Earl Jones, as my friend so-and-so and so-and-so, because they are involved. They are part of our problem because we get no benefit from a rich black person. who lives in Bel Air or who lives in Beverly Hills, we get no benefit. The money that they have stays upstairs. None of it gets to remove Skid Row. We have to get those people off the streets and the Skid Row area. But who's going to do it? I am. Believe it or not, I am. I have devoted my time, my energy, and I have taken this survey in every city in the United States, every major city since 1960 to 1986. I have surveyed every major city, and the problem is the same in every city. If a black person makes it out of a city education, he becomes an engineer or he becomes so-and-so, the first thing he'll do is move. The answer is no. Stay in the black community. Get other black people with resources. Build a toothpick company. Build an automobile company. Build a supermarket and keep it going. And I get my roots from Booker T. Washington, who in the 18th century, late 18th century, up until 1940, 40-something, we had a black industrial black America. We had banks. We had Roebuck, which is now Sears and Roebuck. We had Johnson & Johnson. We had pharmaceutical companies. We had an airplane fleet. We had a shipping fleet. We had the White Cross, which served disadvantaged people around the world. We lost all of that.
Okay. Is that why you believe that black America made a mistake in integrating with white America?
Integration.
Integration, yes, sir.
You give it one sentence. Integration is the key to our failure. Why should we integrate? Integration means separating. Integration means leaving a certain part and going into another section. Why don't John Wayne, I don't know these new stars, take Marilyn Monroe, take Sammy Davis Jr., why can't they integrate into the black community and build black America? No, no, no. We are programmed to integrate, which means that integration is distortion. Segregation is strength. It's unity. It's utilizing the strength of our financial system. And that's what Booker T. Washington represented. And that's what I am taking my lead from him. And I do not like, in fact, I tell you this, my first agenda as the torchbearer for the civil rights movement is to give us a name. Now, isn't it a shame that a child can be born with no name and he goes through life being called anything anybody want to call him? Well, that's us. We were called slaves, ex-slaves, freedmen, niggers, colored, Negro, Afro-American than black, and now we are called African-American, which is a lie. Huh?
Do you believe that because we're the only race whose names changes so often, that this brings confusion to black America?
You should interview. Just take time one day for an hour and interview different black people who have different colors of skin. You will find your brown skin and up, meaning brown, light brown, and you know, what we call high yellow, and so forth. They do not consider themselves as black or Negro, or because they have white blood, they have Jewish blood, they have Scandinavian blood, and they do not want to be called anything that we represent. Black people are in a mess. We are totally in a mess. And the first thing I'm going to do on my agenda is to, I've already contacted the Justice Department and some other department, I forgot what it was now, and they agree to where it's illegal. We are not Africans. A Mexican can be born in Mexico, come to the United States, get American citizenship, and he is a Mexican-American. An African who is born in Africa comes over to the United States, get a citizenship, and he becomes an African-American. We were born on American soil. And the 14th Amendment of the Constitution says anybody, any human born on the soil of the United States of America is an American. So we are not African Americans, we are Americans. Now, if you want to put a tag on it, you know, like, for instance, Black America, that's fine. So that agenda, I'm going to work on that. The other agenda is we're going to rebel against black leadership in America, not mentioning any names, not mentioning any groups, not mentioning anybody, just the fact that we are going to create something that has never been done, and we're going to do it by rebelling against black leadership, whoever they are, and they know who they are, because they are not on Skid Row. They are not in no black community, because they have left. They are, we got them in the White House, we got them, we got them all over the United States, and we get no benefit from it. I'm glad you're asking me specifically about economics, because I will refuse to talk about education or unity or I don't want to go into those things that we have been talking about for the last 400 years, and nothing has been done. Why don't we have Roebuck? Why don't we have the hair products? I personally am responsible for the pharmacist, the chemist, I should say, who was under Viola Bond's Cosmetics. Viola Bond was a black woman who invented these hair, I don't know what I'm saying, hair colors or whatever it is. She would not release the chemistry, the man who controlled that, he would not release the formula to me. And she eventually died, and the chemist gave it to Avalon and all of these. And some of those products you see, these white women advertising, that's Viola Bond's product, and I had the chance, but did not get it, to get the, whatever.
The rights. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back so you can collect your thoughts.
Okay.
And 3 to 5 minute break, and then listeners, we're going to come back and listen to Mr. Willie Clay. All right.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, papers, tourists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists, and makeup artists, daily lighting rooms, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
Economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have on Show Talk with Angela Butler today, Mr. Willie T. Clay. Mr. Clay.
Yes.
How do you feel about the current state of Black America? I know you might not like that word, but how do you feel about it?
Actually, that's the only term I like is Black America, because blackness gives me a road into my heritage. Not my personal heritage, but the heritage of my people. I love Africans. I love their you know, when they fought the apartheid, I was rooting for them. I sort of lost my point, if you can just...
Yes, sir, I understand what you say. You don't mind the words Black America, okay?
Right. Okay. Can I say something about the book, just
yes.
briefly? The Big Walk, it's a chronicle piece of work that it symbolizes, in other words, I lived the survey. I didn't have but $10 when I left Cincinnati, and Al Shadakati, the anchor man for Channel 9, took that all over the world. Willie Clay leaving Cincinnati to walk across America, and he only has $10. Well, the $10 lasts me 10 miles. From there, I lived the life of what about 60 to 70% of us living. We are destitute. I was destitute. I didn't have a dime. I would go into a town or a city, and I did what black people do. I didn't sell drugs, of course. I didn't take drugs. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob anybody. But I had to fight. I had to force myself. I had to work in places that I ordinarily wouldn't work. I had to sleep in roach-infested rooms. I had to sleep in the tree. I dealt with rattlesnakes. I dealt with coyotes. I dealt with the tornado. I dealt with having pneumonia. I dealt with the storms. I had good people to take care of me. I don't deny that. So I just want you to know. And then I use the dialect. I don't say the man walked down the street. I put it in the form of a dialect. Please open the door. Open the door. Open the door. And I write that in the book. I have 4 years of phonetics, so I'm able to distinguish the dialect from English. So I just want you to know that. Oh, I had to deal with homosexuality. I got a job to finance me a few miles, and the cook thought that being a waiter, he was under the impression that I was homosexual, and I had to fight him. We had a knife fight. He burst through my window with an automobile. I had to sleep in the desert to keep from him harming me. I said I'd rather sleep with rattlesnakes than to have to deal with him. So the book is real. It's real people, and I recommend people to read that book. Okay, you can ask me the next question.
Yes, sir. The Big Walk is the name of your book too. And
yes.
Listeners, I want you to know it's by Mr. Willie T. Clay. I'm sorry. You believe an economic parity for blacks. How close are we from reaching this goal from 1960 to 2013? It's been about 53 years. Are we any closer to reaching this economic parity in a capitalistic society?
There are about 15 most influential rich men or organizations in this country. One of them had a regular TV commercial that did not specify Negro or black. It was a black-owned company. It's a family. They were they did business like business should be done. Other people, Reynolds Rap, I think that's the name of Reynolds Rap. To be honest with you, at one time, I think in the 80s, a black woman became the board of directors because she was married to the white person who, the white family member, and by him dying, she took over as, but what benefit does that give us? None. The rich company that did so well in there, what did they remove anything or build anything in Skid Row, in the Mission House? No, their money went to the. And when I say white, I don't mean that white that's negative. I mean white people. It went to the whites, and I'll use whites for all nationalities. Our money goes to them. If a person is rich, if a black man is rich, and he has money, where does he buy his shoes? Where does he buy his shirts? Where does he buy his automobiles? Where, in other words, it's no benefit to black people. It goes back to the white man. That's a sickness to me, and I want to change it. Now I don't no. I take that back. I don't want to change it. I am going to change it, and with the help of people like you, Ms. Butler.
Yes, sir.
We're going to change black America. We're going to put them on the list of being Americans and utilizing the capitalization of the United States.
Okay.
Ask me another question.
All right. So, in your opinion, are black men and women really free in America? I mean, this doesn't have a whole lot to do with economics. I know you really want to concentrate on economics. I mean, we make up a small percentage of America, but the prison system is overflowing with us. What are the solutions for black Americans for the current overwhelming prison population? And when you talk about economics, you know the prisons are on the stock market, right? It's a commodity.
Yes.
They privatized prisons. So somebody is making money off that. What can we as people do about the incarceration of so many of our people?
Okay. I've already written. I have to change a couple of little things. But I've already written a letter. It reads, Dear American Black Gang, Black America owes you an apology. Our parents, grandparents, and forefathers have failed you. And then, it's not chronological. Leave our gangs alone. I did a program in Cleveland, Ohio, I think in 1986-87. Leave our gangs alone and punish the guilty. I had a packed house. They don't know what I mean. Leave our gangs alone and punish the... Well, I said... You know who the gangs are, right? They said, yes. Who are we going to punish? I said, every one of you that's sitting in this room today, punish you because you don't, how many of you got buttons on your shirts? they raise their hand. How many of you wear shoes? They raise their hand. How many of you got toothpaste? They raise it. How many of you got cars? Everybody raise their hands. You are the guilty one. Why don't you go? You go to a supermarket. They got 17, 18, 20 aisles, plus what's on the side. They got thousands of products in one supermarket. And we buy them. We buy salt. We buy canned whatever, corn. We buy, but we don't own any of that. We should be, I shouldn't say that, but since I started it, I say we should be shot because we do not consider ourselves as nobody. The only thing we want to do is to get out of the ghetto, make it, and get out of the ghetto. No, you make it and keep yourself in the ghetto and invite your Bill Cosby's and your so-and-so. By the way, Bill Cosby's a friend of mine, so I hope he understands that I'm trying to get a message across using him as a guide. What's your question again? I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I was talking about the prison population and economics.
Okay.
I was saying that the prisons are now on the stock market. A lot of them are privatized. That's since you talk about economics, there are people who are owning prisons. That's economics too. I mean, it's the wrong economics.
Yes. The white man, to
so many black Americans being in prison. So many men and women. We only make up a small percentage of America. But yet the prison population is just overwhelming. I mean, what is your answer to that? What do you think about that?
Okay, the white man, and again, not negatively, but the white man, very smart. They know how to do business. They are Americans, and they utilize the capitalistic system. Now, I keep repeating that because this is going to, instead of get out of the ghetto, make it and get out of the ghetto, I'm going to start having people saying, use America for the capitalistic control.
Okay.
Those men are in prison because their mother and father is on drugs. Their parents, I mean, this has been going on since the late 60s, where children are raising themselves. Children are raising children. And how do they raise them? Because the white man sponsors the black people to do videos of women and bitches and sex and drugs and stuff. And our children who are growing up to be 11, 12, and 15, they're inundated with the negatives. They're inundated with all of this crud. And I was in Cleveland, and one of my friends went to jail for burglary. And so he spent his 8 or 9 months. And when I went to help him get out, I said, why let him out? Keep him in there. And they said, why? Because he's going right back to where he lived, where he went to prison, and he's going to do worse than stealing a car. And do you know, shooting up, he's back in prison for murder. He didn't mean to murder somebody, but he was with some people who that was the only thing they could do to survive. So it's our fault. It's not the fault of the white man that we're in the situation we're in. W.B. Du Bois, when I was a kid, they told me he was the greatest American, black American there was. They told me that Dr. Kenneth Clark, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., they said these people, but these are the people that went against Booker T. Washington and wrote a book. W.B. Du Bois wrote a book denouncing what Booker T. Washington said. Booker T. Washington said, "We'll stand. We don't need no money from Washington. We don't need no NAACP. We don't need no money from nowhere. We will stand on our own 2 feet." Now, this clan of people, educated, W.B. Du Bois and so forth, wrote a book, 2 books, of denouncing that policy. And black people who don't want to be black went along with W.B. Du Bois. Dr. Kenneth Clark in 1986 had a big article, I think he retired, in the New York Times. And he admitted, and I don't have a copy of it now, I got to get more, but he admitted that black people, he thought he was doing great with his programs, with his educational system, with his so-and-so. He says, but we have set America back 50 years. Now, this is Dr. Kenneth Clark, who was the advisor to 4 presidents for black people.
Okay.
George Foreman. These people are not for black America. They are for themselves. And we have to recognize that. And I'm going to recognize it. But I'm not going to really pinpoint him or any living person who's in a situation, you know, to be leaders. We're going to rebel against the leaders so that we can distribute monies. What? Now, let me tell you, Oprah Winfrey, the world knows her.
Yes.
I'll just use her as an example. Why can't she use her $1 billion, and she's worth more than $1 billion? She has ties to world economics. I love it. I love her progress. But why can't she? She built a school, I think, in Africa.
Yes, sir.
Why can't she build a school or build a community in black America? I can't reason with these people who don't utilize their money for us. We're poor. 70% of us are on welfare. I should not use one figure, I have to say. From 50 to 70% of us are on welfare. James Brown, I'll use him because I had an encounter with him in Augusta, Georgia, when I was saying we black people have to stop being ashamed of being black. If you are black, you are black. If you are brown, but what I have to deal with is that, what do you call the light-skinned people or the light brown people? But we were talking about black. I says we have to be black and proud. We have to be proud of being black. We have to We have to support each other. And James Brown cursed me out. He called me every name in the book and told me I was going to get killed if I keep talking that crap. Now, I met James Brown 10 years later when I had my company in Cincinnati, and he came in with B.B. King and a few other people. And I asked him, do you remember that boy in Augusta, Georgia that said, black and proud? He says, you're that man. And we had a reunion, and from that point on, we talked several times. And, of course, you know that James Brown in 1967, I think it was, came out with I'm Black and I'm Proud. Well, he utilized my thoughts to build his empire of owning nightclubs, radio stations, and so forth. I'll admit that the white man took it from him because we are no business. We let them control our businesses, and that's why Sammy Davis died broke, Red Fox died broke, and most every Roebuck died a pauper. Sears had to bury him because he had no money. And he was the owner. He started Roebuck. And Sears came in and just took over Motown. Motown was, believe me, one of the most powerful companies with their music, with their talent in the world. But who owns Motown now? The Italians. Why? Why can't we put it together
and own something like that? Okay. I have a couple more questions. What about the youth? Why is it important to teach them economic poverty within a capitalistic society? Not just the adults, but the youth.
Well, I tried my best. In my endeavors, I have tried my best to have the superintendents, school boards, to teach. To just what you're asking me, I have been involved in requesting that economics be part of the curriculums in the schools. And I get a no answer from anybody I've talked to. I have tried my best. There's one other thing I tried to do. I tried to get installed in the school system at the age from 11 to 15. I have tried to get them to teach a boy that when he has a girlfriend, he doesn't own her. We teach the girls, you do not allow anybody to misuse you, starting at 11, 12, and 13. By the time those persons get to be adults, they'll have that instilled in their mind, and we'll have less brutality in marriage, less, if these people were taught at an earlier age that you don't let a man misuse you. All we think about is who's appearing at so-and-so, Jennifer this, and they got the tattoos all over themselves, and We're in a mess.
That's really your belief, Mr. Clay, that black America is in a mess.
And we are in a man, yes.
You feel like any of that came from slavery? I mean, with the women?
I don't blame, ma'am, I don't blame slavery for our situation. There have been slavery. It's been an institution thousands of years ago.
Yes, sir.
It has always been established. So just because we were caught up in slavery, well, what are we going to do?
Now,
we're going to give up just because we were slaves? Is that going to be our excuse for not taking advantage? I'm going to tell you this. America is one of the greatest countries ever existed that I know of in the world. America is America. It has opportunities for everybody. Now, I'm not saying everybody can be a president or everybody can be a Muhammad Ali, but I'm saying everybody can be. They don't have to be destitute. But that's what we are, and I've lost my point again.
Okay. All right. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You're doing fine. We're talking about the youth and why it's important to get some economic parity within a capitalist society. You more than answered that.
I answered that, yes. And I believe I don't know if that's going to be on my agenda soon. I got to get this this American, African-American thing. I got to get that settled. I really do. That's going to start us off as being a reputable person, which is me.
Okay.
And I've been with Tom Bradley, the mayor of Los Angeles. I'm one of the reasons why he became mayor, and I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
I'll tell you about my affiliation with John Wayne, with Rock Hudson, with Stars, with Sammy Davis Jr. I know the system. I know where we stand and where we ought to be. And we are not. We have disintegrated. And the drugs, the white man is smart. If he can make a dollar, he'll make it. I say, if we can make a dollar, let's make it. But now here, the white man has promoted drugs in the black community. The videos, the talent, but he's not the only one. What's the boy's name from Mississippi, from Tennessee? Elvis Presley.
Okay.
Elvis Presley's concerts was nothing but drug selling. When somebody goes and give a concert and so forth and so on, all they do is sell. They sell drugs. Our songs, The Temptations. I cursed them out one night when they were doing "I'm Doing Fine on Cloud Nine." That's drugs. And I was with Teen Pulse, which is a youth group, and a boy was dying, getting into a ambulance, and I asked him. I says, "What?" He said, I said, why do you take the drugs? He said, if the temptations take drugs on high on cloud nine, I can too.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
We got to wrap this up, Mr. Clay.
Okay.
Where may the listeners go to purchase your book, The Big Walk?
Oh, Mrs. Butler, I have to tell you that I'm just breaking loose.
Okay.
I'm just getting started, and I have Barnes & Noble is the biggest one that I've been affiliated with, and they have taken my books, but I didn't have the money to, you know,
redistribute them.
Yeah, and I'm they can get it from me.
Okay.
At this time, my email, you know it, you can give it out.
All right.
I don't know it. I don't know my email.
All right.
But you know, I'm being honest. I can tell you, oh, I got this and that and the other, but I don't.
All right, Mr. Clay, time is up. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
I thank you.
It's an honor to have you on the show.
It's an honor to be on, and I'm glad I met you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.